First, I want to take a moment to thank all of you who sent messages and cards to me in the past week after my mom died. I am most grateful to Reverend Kathleen Kingslight for filling in on such short notice, and for our wonderful staff and wardens and various committees that kept on in my absence. So thank you for your condolences and your prayers. I was able to get to Minnesota before my mom died. She was still talking, and she recognized me and gave me her love and her blessing in those last tender moments that will stay with me forever. I am at peace because she was at peace in the end. And I'll say more about that later. Today is the last Sunday of the season of Epiphany. Epiphany means to make manifest. Jesus is made manifest or revealed to the Gentiles when the three Magi traveled from afar to pay him homage. He is further revealed for who he is when he is presented by his parents in the temple, and again when he is baptized by John in the River Jordan. All of these events build on each other until this last impressive manifestation, which we call the Transfiguration. The Transfiguration is one of only a few stories that appear in all four Gospels. The three people who appear in bright array are Elijah, the greatest prophet of all time, Moses, the lawgiver, and Jesus, who ranks with the other two as prophet and redeemer of the world. As we look at this story, we are not as concerned with the historicity of it as much as how it relates to Epiphany. What does it reveal to us on this last day of Epiphany? Curiously, after it is all over, Jesus and the three disciples, Peter, James, and John, go down from the mountain. No one notices anything different about Jesus. But for Peter, James, and John, nothing could be the same again after they saw what they saw on the mountain. Today, I hope that you will consider that the Transfiguration is not only a glimpse of Jesus' true identity, but also a window of how God sees each of us in dazzling brightness, surrounded by light, even by glory. Yes, God sees us this way, even when we do not. Have you ever wondered, why do I wear a white alb and chasuble and stole for these services? I certainly don't wear that all the time, which is a good thing. But Sunday is special. We need to represent a little glory now and then. Not me personally, but us. To remind us how God sees us. That when we seem all too human, we might be reminded that we share in the divine. In the divine nature we are made. In the image of God we walk. Dazzling brightness is how God sees us, especially when we stand in the unspeakable brightness of God's countenance, which perhaps we always do, even though it is often a reality unseen. There is a prayer that can be said. It is said when I pour the bit of water into the wine at the beginning of the Eucharist. Have you ever seen me do that? And why do we dilute the wine with just a few drops of water? The water, just a few drops, represents us. The wine, which is a full cup, represents Jesus. As I pour the water into the wine, the prayer goes like this. By the mystery of this water and wine, may we come to share in the divinity of Christ, who humbled himself to share in our humanity. In the same way, sometimes when I am praying for someone and I'm at a loss for words, I simply picture them surrounded by light, in the company of Jesus or Mary, full of energy and light, and surrounded by love. The dazzling brightness of Jesus on the mountain tells us that our lives are not some circular treadmill of self-improvement, or even an ideal like reincarnation. Instead, our lives, like Jesus, have an end goal. Our faith has a purpose, an end, an outcome that is accomplished by our sharing in the life of Jesus. In church parlance and in philosophy as well, this is called teleological. Not theological, but teleological, which means there is an end goal. The end goal is resurrection, eternal life, unity with God, a sharing in the divine being. After my dad died in 2013, my mom struggled for many years. She was angry and unhappy, lonely and increasingly depressed. As the years dragged on, sometimes she wondered aloud why she was still here. Then in 2021, it became necessary for her to move into assisted living at St. Therese Senior Living Community. It was a very difficult adjustment for her. Shortly after that, after several falls, she needed more round-the-clock care and was moved into the long-term care part of St. Therese. In the beginning of that time, she still wondered why she lived on. However, at St. Therese, she experienced the most amazing transformation. At the age of 92, she made a friend who was perhaps the closest friend she's ever had in her life. What a joy it often was to see her laughing with her friend Evelyn. The staff and other residents showered my mom with love, extraordinary love, and she was able to receive that love. She went to Mass almost every day and experienced a spiritual reawakening that she was able to talk to me about. In the last 2 years, she became content, grateful, more outwardly expressive of her love. It was the most amazing, grace-filled transformation to witness. And what a witness to all of us, that even at the age of 94, a person can change, can make new friends, can find purpose and meaning in life, and can be filled with grace and love. So at her grave, I prayed from our Book of Common Prayer this prayer. O God, whose days are without end and whose mercies cannot be numbered, make us, we pray, deeply aware of the shortness and uncertainty of human life. And let your Holy Spirit lead us in holiness and righteousness all our days, that when we have served you in our generation, we may be gathered to our ancestors, having the testimony of a good conscience, in confidence of a certain faith, in comfort of hope, in favor with you, our God, and in perfect charity with the world. All this we ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. There is an end goal for us, which is resurrection and light and unity with God. The bright light of the Transfiguration affirms life, a light that shines ahead of us. This light speaks a promise that God is here and God is knowable. God seeks a relationship with Peter and James and John, with all those who have gone before us, and every bit as much with you, with us. God wants a relationship with you. God wants you to know how God sees you in dazzling array, in brightness, and beloved beyond all telling. You are God's beloved. You are valued. You are beautiful. So as we turn our attention to the season of Lent, in which we turn back to God from all that separates us from God, remember then how God sees you in brightness, near to Jesus, whose face shines like the sun, and whose clothes became dazzlingly white.